Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order, the February 24th, 2020, regular fellow city council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and for wisdom for the city council as we make our decisions tonight. And now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, I want to welcome everyone here tonight. Thank you for coming. It's an exciting night for the police department and its explorers. We do not have a quorum, but I understand and have been receiving messages that Councilwoman Maria Quesada should be here sometime in the next 10 minutes. So when the city council doesn't have a quorum, we can't take action on any item, but there are items that we have scheduled for tonight, which I want to move forward with those. And the first one is citizen input. Well, hold on. Before I do that, I need to go to roll call, and we need to a motion to excuse Councilman Snyder, Councilwoman Doro, and Councilman Corey Everett.
Make that motion.
Second.
Okay, we don't have a quorum, so I guess.
Well, we were going to leave that. We were going to leave that for.
You're going to let me know that after. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I'll just go on with the flow.
Okay, good. So we're going to have to remember to go back to that. Thank you. So let's move then to citizen input. And tonight we have with us representatives of the Sandhill Crane Festival, and Chris Bronwert is here to give us some information about the exciting event that's taking place in a couple, three weeks, I think, on the 20th, 21st. So, Chris, do you want to fill in the council and the audience and her husband, Kurt?
This is my husband, Kurt, and this is Brian Boda. And we're pleased to be here tonight, and we want to share with the city council, what we've been doing and how much we've gotten done so far. This is our 23rd annual Sandhill Crane Festival. The festival brings about 1,800 people to the city of Othello. We get lots of wonderful comments from the visitors that come. They talk about how clean our city is, how cordial the people are, how involved it is. To run the festival, we have about 400 volunteers that help us the day of the festival. And we're very thankful and appreciative to all of the people that do volunteer. And if anybody here is wanting to volunteer, we would sure like to have any of you join us. I do want to share with you guys, Kurt just handed out to you our brochure for this year. And if anybody in the audience would like a brochure, we have more. And we have 46 lectures that will occur on Saturday at the high school. We have tours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but the lectures are only on Saturday at the high school. And we talk about, of course, the Sandhill Crane. That's our main focus. We also talk about a lot of the other animals that are around here. There's a speaker that's going to be talking about the beavers. We're going to talk about frogs. We're going to talk about crows. So there's a lot of variation. We also talk about geology. If you've ever been hiking out in the potholes and seen all the columns out there and just wonder how they showed up here, all that, come and hear a lecture on them or go on a tour. The other thing I want, the cranes are not here yet. I don't know if anybody out here has seen any cranes yet, but they will, you should start seeing them next week. The snow geese are here. They have been here for about a week, and if you just happen to be out while they're migrating by, there's thousands of snow geese. And but when you do go out to look at the cranes, I want you to watch some of the characteristics that they do. You'll see them as they fly. They kind of circle. They don't fly like the geese do in V's. They circle up. They like to get up high where the thermals are. And as they fly, they tilt their wings and control their flights. And then the most fun is when they come down. And they like to parachute down if they want to go slow, or if they want to drop down real fast, they'll just kind of tilt their wings and drop down. And then as they get to the bottom, their wings, their 6-foot span of wings are out, and they put their head the right direction, and then they'll stick their toes out. And you can just see their toes, and so that controls them. And then they just land real, real smoothly as they hit the ground. So find your way out to the potholes, the refuge. During the day, they day roost. If you don't know where Dilling Road is, out by Cunning, out towards Connell, you can see them out there. You can see them out Bench Road, Corfu, Scutney. You'll see them at night. They night roost at Scutney Lake. And so you can, if you go to Scutney about sunset, you can see them just coming in hordes. There's 35,000 sandhill cranes that migrate from California to Alaska, and during March we have about half of them here in the basin. So that's kind of a quick little synopsis about what to look for when you go out there to see the cranes. And Brian's going to tell you about registration and how many people we already have registered.
So registration this year opened at midnight on February 1st, and our very first tour sold out at 3 a.m. By 6 a.m. that day, 3 tours were sold out. We have a total of 27 tours, 16 of which are currently sold out, and a number of them have waiting lists, some considerable. And so as of now, the festival itself, at least for the tours, is about 60% sold out. And we are going to be adding at least 2 more tours, but we're kind of really at the limit there. So I get calls every day and every night about people, oh, I just heard about this Sandhill Crane Fest. I want to register. So every year we move the circle of influence, if you want to say, moves larger and larger. We're getting registrations from as far away as Montana and California. This year, past years have been international as well. And there's a lot of excitement with these people that call it. I can't wait to come back to Othello to go to this crane fest. So so we're doing well.
That's great, thank you.
And I have a complimentary family ticket for all the council people to attend our crane festival on Saturday the 21st. So if you will, give them to you, and you can hand them out.
Yep.
So you'll get your family in, and we'd sure like to have you guys join us.
Thank you very much.
So,
any questions?
Yeah, I just have a statement. Council, do you guys have any questions? Honestly, this is one of Othello's funnest events. I've been to it the last couple of years because they've invited me to come and greet people as they come in the door. There's a lot of out-of-town people come to this event, probably more than, you know, unless, I don't even know if the Fair and Rodeo gets 1,800 people, but it's a big event. There's a lot of education. There's a lot of fun goes on with the, describe the gym and what's taking place in the gym with all of the different booths and people that are there?
Right. Well, we have vendors that come. They have to be crane related or bird related or wildlife or geology. So we have the fish and wildlife people there. We have the state parks there. We have photographers there. We have people that come bring the binoculars. We have a lot of art in there. And then we have the children's art section, which Jen puts a lot of time and effort into. And we have an art contest for all ages. And how many entries did you have last year?
About 800 entries in the art contest, and then there's prizes for those, and the chamber is there, of course the old hotel is there, we have novelties that we sell, so there's a lot that goes in. Entrance is $10 and $5 for seniors, and children are free if they're accompanied by adults. They have to be accompanied by adults if they're free.
And then you have the WSU Raptor Club that goes all around.
Yeah, and if you've never been able to be close to a raptor, it's wonderful. They'll bring four or five of the raptors, and they will be giving two different lectures, and they walk around with them on their arm. You can touch them, and they used to let you touch them. So it's a wonderful time to come and enjoy what's here within our community. And we want to, you know, thank the tourism money. We get tourism money each year. They call it, I think, heads.
LTAC,
but we call it heads on beds.
Right.
So the tax that comes from staying in the hotel is distributed to people who bring, to different groups who bring people to the hotel to help with the tourism and help bring dollars to your city. And so we appreciate all that money we give. We'll be able to continue to make the festival sustainable as long as we get the volunteers and the help from everybody.
Chris, thank you. Kurt, Brian, wonderful. We really appreciate the tickets too. That's very nice of you guys, and we'll see you at the event. Okay, thank you for giving us an update. Now I would like to move back up to item 1D, which is roll call, and I'd entertain a motion to excuse Councilman Everett Snyder and Councilwoman Doro.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to our consent agenda, which is item 3.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then we'll move to item 4A, which is our current business, and that is police department awards. And tonight, our police chief, Phil Shank, is going to present some awards along with school resource officer, Seth Carlson. So,
first, I'd like to invite Brett McFarland, Officer Steve Perez, and Evelyn Verone. Come on up, please. So every year we have an officer of the year, a supervisor of the year, and a support staff person of the year. And that usually, that includes all the dispatchers and such. But you guys can all turn to the audience. So don't worry, you don't have to do your speech until I'm done. So the clothes that they're wearing, I mean, these guys have been actually working since early this morning in Tri-Cities doing driver training, so they didn't have a chance to get home and dress up for this. But today, we'd like to present them to the community as the staff. Now, Sergeant McFarland and Evelyn Marone have both already received a coin from me. So I'm running a little low. I've got to make an order, so I'm sorry. But Steve Perez has not yet. So I'm going to go ahead and give him that one for now. But at this point, Sergeant McFarland is our Supervisor of the Year. Steve Perez is our Officer of the Year. Steve, how long have you been with us?
3 years.
And Evelyn, a year and a half. So these are shining stars in our department. So thank you. Thanks, guys. Seth, can you come on up, please? Now we're going to do our explorers. We have 6 explorers that we'd like to recognize. And each of these explorers went to our Winter Explorer Academy. Why don't you come on over here, please? They went to our Winter Explorer Academy. Now let me explain what the Explorer Academy looks like. They go to the Yakima Firing Center. I believe they still sleep in barracks. They get there and basically they start getting yelled at just like it's boot camp. They learn to do push-ups, sit-ups, run, you name it. The difference being, when I was in the Army and I've got a drill sergeant yelling at me, he didn't care what I think about anything. We actually care what these young people think, and it's about educating. So what you'll see is a lot of them will have a little notebook, and when they're stopped, they'll be reading and memorizing because they're going to be quizzed. So there's, and it's really useful. They go through some extra mock scenarios, and it's just a lot of fun. But I want to bring six of these young people up here. The first is Captain Brittany Ramirez. Come on right up here. So Brittany has been with us 3 years. She's a senior this year. She's actually been to six academies, is that correct? So she's done this six times, so she's a glutton for punishment. Angela. Angela couldn't make it, okay. Angela Hernandez has also been with us 3 years, and she's done five of these academies. Now, Annabella Rico, come right on up here. Annabella's been with us 2 years and two academies. Jordy Ramirez, right on up here. 1 year in our program, three academies. So I don't know how you pull three of them off in 12 months, but good job. Kate, come right on up here. 1 year, has attended one academy. What'd you think? It's hard. Are you going to try to make five of these things like these crazy people did? All right. And Leonardo Faustino, right on up here. He's been 1 year in our program. He's been to one academy. Now, have any of you guys been to the Border Patrol Academy, the summer one? So you did the summer one. So the Border Patrol Academy also puts on academy up in Oroville, and at that academy, they're out running in the forest and stuff, doing the same kind of thing, except they've got paintball guns and a bunch of fun like that. And Seth, didn't you say they also do a winter survival training?
Yeah. We had
two young people go through that, didn't we?
Yeah, it's this coming weekend.
And you're taking how many to that?
Five.
We're taking five to that, and five is all we can. We don't have a big enough vehicle for as many young people as we wanted, to go to this. So one of the things that you're going to see from us in the next year or so is we're going to be doing some fundraising. We want to buy a van. So, and that's so that we can go to these things. There's also a competition over on the west side where we can go compete against other Explorer programs, knowledge, shooting, running, the kind of things that these young people signed up for. So in the meantime, Captain Ramirez, well done. There you go. I only have that one, and that's because you're a senior. So the rest of them, I'd like to give them all a hand. Well done. Anything else? Good job. Well done. You want to say anything? Seth Carlson is one of our Explorer advisors. Sergeant McFarland in the back here is also one of our advisors. And Evelyn, are you helping out right now too? It helps. Is Heather still helping out with it? So it helps for us to have male and female just because obviously we're co-ed. So, Mayor, would you adjourn?
Okay.
If you would mind, it'd be a good time. That way we can actually come back with less people.
Okay, so the police department just received, and maybe you better explain it. Okay.
We have, so that our council, and you've seen some of our social media posts, our new police cars as they come in are black. We've come up with our new decal scheme. We have one of them parked out front so our community can see it. It's being fitted, I believe, with a radio tomorrow, and so we can actually get it out on the road and get it moving. But I would invite everybody here, including the council, if Mayor can adjourn for just a few minutes, to come out and take a look at it. And then anybody that's not interested in the Explorers can feel free to leave if they'd like. Let's catch them up.
I'm sorry.
Let's not figure it. Okay, so.
Okay, with that, we will recess at 6:52 PM and we'll readjourn here at 7 PM. So for 8 minutes, get a chance, everybody, to go out with the council's permission. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so we'll recess now until 7 PM. I'd like to reconvene the meeting at 7 PM and let the record show that Councilwoman Maria Quesada joined us at 6:36 PM. And we're going to now move to item 4B on our current business, and that's the phone systems informational. Abner has information for those who weren't part of the committee, the technology committee. So go ahead, Abner.
Hello, Council. So we had a successful first committee meeting for the IT stuff, and we were talking about the phone system, and what ended up happening is I contacted CenturyLink, and we had budgeted some money for a new phone system this year, so I started working on getting CenturyLink ported over and what we needed to do, and he put me in touch with a gentleman at Intrigue Communications, and we had budgeted this year $25,000 for new handsets and $3,800 a month moving forward. And when I spoke to Intrigue Communications, they had experience with Grandstream, which is what we currently have. And I asked him, you know, if he's willing to support this system and be able to do what we want to do here. And he said he was able to do that, and I had him write me up a quote. And it was very favorable at about $6,800 to do everything we want, including redundancy for dispatch and getting our dispatch center working with our radios. And then he can also contract with us to service our Grandstream system at $75 a month moving forward. I thought that was a really great idea, and so did committee members. So I just want to let you guys know that we're saving a ton of money there. It's like 10% of what we were going to pay on the other system. So we're going to probably get a contract in front of you guys within a week, probably. So,
that's great.
Any questions?
Council.
Oh, and one of the things I wanted to mention is I did get some references from this guy from City of Oroville Police Department. They're also a system that he's installed with, they're just raving about him. I talked to the City of Oroville clerk, which he did it for the city, same thing, raved about him. I visited Cheney School District, they have 400 devices, or 4,000 devices, sorry, that he installed, and they couldn't say more good things about this guy. So I was very pleased to hear all this. So yeah, I just wanted to bring it to you and let you know what's going on.
Thank you, Adam. Item 4C is our complete streets ordinance, and spoke about it before, and now the direction of the council, she's bringing forth an ordinance for your consideration.
So complete streets is basically a funding mechanism. It's a little different from most, where it's not a grant where you apply for a specific project. You have to adopt an ordinance supporting complete streets, then you have to show that you have an ethic of living up to your ordinance. So the first step is to actually adopt an ordinance. Talk to the committee about this last week. It was fairly recently. And then I think it was 2 weeks ago. And so the committee gave the direction to move forward. The Planning Commission looked at the ordinance that we drafted. I used several ordinances that were either recommended by TIB or that had won national awards, and they're mostly pretty similar. So put those into ordinance form, had the council or the Planning Commission look at it. Since I wrote the agenda memo, the city attorney took a look at it. He had a few, just one comment on one section that was the one that was in the agenda tonight. just adding in under the exceptions that facilities aren't required to be provided under this chapter unless they're required to be provided by state or federal law. So you can't get out of ADA by saying nobody's going to use it. If ADA is required, it's required. So he just wanted that clarification. So I added that in. The other thing is that I did hear back from the TIB engineers that were favorable of the ordinance. They said it would rate well under their scoring. So being presented as possibly for adoption tonight.
Council? Do you guys want a complete street ordinance?
I'll make a motion to adopt the complete street ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Unfinished business, item five. Is there any unfinished business tonight, council? Under new business, is there any new business? I know our clerk, Tanya Morelos, would like you to turn in your code books so she can update those. So if you guys could bring those in. Either the next meeting Monday night or sometime during the week. She wants to update, keep those current for you. Abner, you, has everybody had their iPads updated now?
Yes.
Okay. Then...
Well, we didn't do
The folders. You talking about the notebooks?
Yes, that the code book, the green code book. Is what I was talking about the first time, and then this, I was just talking about the iPad.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, I'm just...
Okay. So that's great. I didn't know we had that in the budget. That's terrific. Then, any other new business tonight, council?
I did want to make a comment for the chief. This last 2.5 weeks, I've been approached by a couple different groups, a couple churches, talking about neighborhood watches and things that, and so I encouraged them to come to council. And a lot of them were concerned about the gang activity. And the reason it kind of sparked this comment or this, you know, as new business is you and I had chatted one time, and I think you had brought up that you thought that the gang activity might be on the rise this year, or we might see something that, you know, was you guys are preparing for as a department. And just wanted to give you a heads up that, you know, there's a potential that these groups are going to come visit city council, and give you a heads up so you can be prepared to speak to it if you needed to. And
is there any other new business? Okay. Item 7 is council will also receive the Planning Commission minutes. Having no further business.
Can we discuss the building planning and enforcement for a minute just to get some information from Ann?
Sure.
And the chief.
Go ahead.
So when you say 76 Desdemona's under enforcement for allowing people to sleep in the building,
mm-hmm.
is that the red barn?
Yes.
So what are we doing on that?
It's been to court several times.
Okay, what was the court decisions?
The most recent is that Tim and Heather met with the attorney on the site and were spelling out, you know, you need to provide us a document. You can't have people sleeping here. You need to show us the plans for the things that you built in there that weren't permitted. Heather followed up with an email last week, and I haven't heard if anything has happened since then.
Okay, well, at what point do we get to where we basically get them to conform to what they established the building for?
We're working very closely with our attorney on this, just to make sure we're not stepping in any of my bills. Can we get an update on that?
Okay. Because there's still a lot of cars parked there. It's like a used car lot.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, I mean, you got trucks, you're moving product. That's what it was initially built for, was a storage.
A warehouse.
So, you know, I understand the trucks and stuff being parked there, but the place isn't being kept up the way it should be. I mean, it started with a landscaping, and now it's just all rock with nothing planted.
So what else is happening there? They got families living in there?
Yeah, they do not currently, and we're working on the trucks also, because there's some discussion about whether the trucks should be there or not.
Good.
So that includes from a business and Carmel and Madawan, I'm not sure. So those aren't something that should actually be part of this business, and that's discussion we're looking into.
Yeah, if they're not going to be parked there, then they'll probably be parked behind the store, right by in front of the church. So, you know, I mean, that's where they were before. Okay, I read all this, and I was just kind of wanting some more information.
I'll have to give you a call tomorrow.
Good. Alrighty.
Did you have anything else, John?
No.
Council?
That one caught my eye. I just was wondering what was happening.
Yeah.
On the planning commission minutes, we didn't discuss the trigger term.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, there's, you can't force the ones that are in bad shape to conform in a park. Is that what you're right?
Correct. You can, you know, do basic life safety things, but you can't make them conform to an ordinance for, like, having a binding site plan for the park or having certain road widths, things that weren't in place when that park was established. So it's a difficult problem. But you can deal with unit issues with the units. You have to go through labor and industries, though.
Any other questions, council? All right, having no further business, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:12 p.m.